This is Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr., the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to welcome you to our study through the book of Romans tonight, and I'd like to ask you, if you can, to turn to the book of Romans chapter 7. And we'll be focusing tonight in verses 1 through verse 6. Let's go ahead and read our text, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Romans chapter 7 says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Therefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in oldness of the letter." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have the privilege of being on the radio. And we pray, Father, that as we teach tonight's text, that you'd use it perhaps to touch someone's heart, to show them their need of a Savior. We pray that perhaps maybe someone that professes faith, that maybe has drifted, that this text would motivate them, Lord, to repent of not serving you as they should and rededicate their life to you. And Lord, we pray that you would be exalted in all said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to title Romans 7 verses 1 through 6, "Free to Serve in Newness." Free to serve in newness. And for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at Romans 6 and then, of course, now in Romans 7. And it's been stressing our life after salvation. It described in Romans 6, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And the answer is, God forbid. And that's an argument that many people use even today, and a complaint that many people use today. When you teach that you were saved totally by grace, then many people assume that you don't believe in serving God or living a life that is pleasing in the Lord. Well, that's nothing any farther from the truth. Paul taught in Romans 3 and Romans 4 and Romans 5 that we are not saved by our works. He makes that crystal clear. Romans 4 says, "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is imputed for righteousness." And Romans 4 and verse 6 says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness without works." So we're not saved by our works. We're saved by faith in Christ. When you trust Jesus, he charges to your account his righteousness. Said it many times, it takes 100% righteousness to go to heaven. There's only one place you can get that, and that's by Jesus. Jesus is the only one that ever walked this planet that was 100% righteous. And when you trust him as your Savior, he charges to your account his righteousness, and he charges all your sin to him. Romans 3:27 says, "Where's boasting then?" Well, in the salvation that I just described, it puts boasting only in Jesus. That's why salvation by grace is so important. It puts the spotlight and the praise on Jesus. Whereas salvation by works, which is really not salvation at all, because no flesh will ever be saved by their works. It's always going to be saved by grace. It's salvation by grace in the old and salvation by grace in the new. It's always been the same way. They were saved by looking forward to the coming Messiah, where we're saved by looking back at the Messiah who's already came, I should say. But it's still salvation through the Messiah, and through his death, and through his resurrection. Hebrews chapter 11 makes it clear that the Old Testament saints were saved by faith. Romans 4, Abraham was saved by faith. David was saved by faith. It's always been that way. Always will be that way. Well, why not sin all you want to then, since your works don't save you? Well, you do have works after you're saved, but they're the effect of your salvation. And that's what Romans 6 and 7 is stressing. the fact that we don't continue to live in sin because we've been changed. We seek to walk in a new life now. We have a new nature. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We've been made alive. So there is a desire to want to please and obey the Lord. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Works are not the cause of salvation, but that it will be the effect of it. That's the reason why many quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but they always leave out verse 10. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works. Again, lest any man should boast." You see, salvation by grace excludes boasting on your behalf. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Then it goes on to say in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Now, good works don't save you, but his workmanship, this new creation, this new life that he gives you, will move you to want to live by doing good works. Matthew 5 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So again, the important thing that I've said so far is the fact that you're saved by grace. That means you're not saved by your works. Boasting is excluded in this way of salvation, which is the only way of salvation. But it will produce a change in a person. And works are the effect, not the cause. So tonight, here in Romans chapter 7, it continues like Romans 6 did. By stressing the fact now that we're born again, now that we're saved, we don't continue to live a lifestyle of sin. We're not to let sin reign in our mortal body, Romans 6, verse 12 said. Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid, Romans 6, 15 says. So we continue with this form of arguing down to Romans 7. Romans 7 continues and picks right back up with it again and stresses the fact that we seek to live a godly life now that we're saved. So we're going to title the message this evening, "Free to Serve in Newness." And there's going to be 3 points we're going to look at in Romans 7, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, we'll look at the statement that he makes. Then verses 2 and 3 will illustrate the statement. Then verses 4 through 6 will be an application of the illustration and the statement. So the statement, verse 1, the illustration, verse 2 and 3, and the application, verses 4 through 6. The title is "Free to Serve in Newness." Now, the statement that he makes in Romans 7 and the verse 1 says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives." The law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. That's any law. And we're just going to use some illustrations. Certainly that includes the law of the Lord, but it also includes any law. So we're going to look at it that way. He's going to use in the illustration the law of marriage here in just a little bit to show that marriage is binding as long as you live. But when death comes, you're free from it. Well, that's true of any law. If you if you steal something and you get caught, and then you're found guilty in court, and they sentence you to a year in prison, and you die before you go to prison, then you're free from that penalty. You don't have to pay it. In other words, death frees you from the penalty of the law. That's what it means here in Romans 7. It says the law has dominion as long as you live. See, it's as long as you live, the law has dominion over you. If the law says you need to pay your taxes, and that's what the law says. We have to pay our taxes. But, you know, when I die, I won't have to pay taxes no more. That dominion won't be over me anymore. That's what it means when it says the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. That's any law. So the law has dominion. That's his point in verse 1. It has dominion as long as you live. Now, verse 2. "For the woman that hath a husband." Now he uses the illustration of marriage. Now, we're not going to teach on marriage and divorce tonight because we want to stick to our main subject, which we want to stick to what the text is mainly after, and that is to show us that we are free to serve in newness. We'll be free from the law. That's the law's curse, to serve in newness. That's what it's designed to show. But if I get off on verses 2 and 3 and teach on marriage and divorce, then we'll miss the object of the text of verses 1 through 6. So the main teaching is what I'm after. Some other time we'll deal with that. We'll mention a few things about marriage and divorce, but we just right now want to look at the illustration of it. It says that the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law. See, it takes you back to the law. She's bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law. If her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So this idea of marriage is just used in verses 2 and 3 as an illustration of what he said in verse 1. The law has dominion as long as you both shall, as long as you live. Then he uses the illustration of marriage of what he just said. He shows that the marriage law has dominion until death. That's his point. That's the main point that he indeed is trying to make. Now, one thing this does do, and I do want to mention just a few things about marriage. One of the things marriage is designed for is till death do you part. God is, of course, the originator of marriage in the book of Genesis. He's the one that established it and started it. One man for one woman for one lifetime. That's how it's intended to be. But the only thing that's designed, but what breaks that bond, in this context, is death. I'm not going to get off on the other subjects with regard to that. I'm just sticking to the context of Romans 7. What it shows you here is what breaks that bond is death. And then when death happens, then the woman is free to marry another man. That's what this text in Romans 7, 2 and 3 teaches. It's just using this as an illustration to show how that death breaks the dominion of a law. It frees you from your obligation to it as far as to keep it, its penalty, so to speak. Now, with regard to what we're looking at, we'll be talking about a sin curse, and we've been talking about that for several weeks. And we are all under a sin curse. Every one of us is under a sin curse. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, when we say that we've all sinned, that means that we've all broken God's law, and we face a punishment for that. Now, we noticed what the punishment was last week in Romans 6. The wage of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. We face a death, and this death is the second death. In the book of Revelation chapter 20, the second death is described as being casted into the lake of fire. And that is the punishment for sin. That's the penalty for the sin curse. That's the penalty for the sin debt. We're under that. We're under that. And remember what he's pointing out is that this has an effect over us unless we're set free from its dominion. Unless we're set free from its penalty. And what sets a man free from the penalty is a death does. Now, certainly, when we're thinking about being set free from the penalty of the law, there's only one death that can set us free from that, and that's the death of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came and died. Now, if you don't trust Christ, then when you die, you'll pay that debt. But the point is, and the point he's trying to make, is that our penalty that we owe the law because we're sinners was paid for by Jesus Christ. And since we all died in Jesus, since we have died in Him, in other words, when you trust the Messiah as your Savior, the debt that you owe God's law, the curse that you faced, was paid when Jesus died on Calvary. So as far as the law is concerned, when it looks at Jeff Arthur and says, well, wait a minute now, you're a sinner and you owe me a death, I point it right to Jesus. Jesus paid my death. In other words, I've already died. So I'm set free from the law's penalty. Isn't that a glorious teaching that he's showing us here in Romans chapter 7? We sing a song at one time in our church. It's Free from the Law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. My friend, the greatest need you have is to be set free from the law. Because if you're not, then you're under condemnation. Matter of fact, John chapter 3 says that if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're condemned already. He that believes on the Lord Jesus is not condemned. Let me read that text to you. Just come to mind, John 3 and the verse 36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So it says, if you haven't trusted Jesus, then God's wrath abides on you. Now, verse 18 of John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, the law of God has already declared you to be a sinner. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned. That means we've already broke God's law. And that means we're condemned already. We're just waiting on the sentence to be carried out. That's why it's so important to trust Jesus. When you trust Jesus, that debt, that sin curse that you owed, was paid for by Jesus. So as far as the law is concerned, I've died. I've died already. My debt's already been paid, so it has no claims upon me. It can't touch me now. You see, the law has dominion as long as a man liveth. But I've died, and so have you if you've trusted Jesus. I died in him. And now I'm set free from that penalty. I'm set free from that obligation, that curse. I'm set free from it. See, Jeff, when did you die? I died in Christ. Galatians chapter 2 says it in just a better way than I just said it. Listen, Galatians 2 and the verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. When Jesus died on Calvary, I was crucified with him. Because that's when he paid my penalty. Law says, you owe me a death. I pointed to Calvary. That's when my death was paid. That's when my curse was paid. That's when my debt was paid. I'm crucified with Christ, yet I now live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself for me. My friend, I've died already. My debt was paid. Now, either your debt was paid by Jesus, my friend, or you'll pay for it yourself. And that's the reason why we're on this radio broadcast, is to give you that warning. You need to realize that if you die without Jesus, then this debt will be met. You'll pay it. But if you trust Jesus, if you trust him as your Savior, you trust that he died for you on Calvary and rose again the third day, you trust the gospel, then my friend, he will pay your debt. And it's been paid. And you're free from that curse. You're free from that curse of the law. What a glorious blessing that is. So that's why Romans 8 says in verse 1, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ, because he take and paid for all your condemnation on Christ. I mean, on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, all your condemnation was paid. Now there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from it. Free from the sin curse. Free from the second death because Jesus paid it on Calvary. So, let's go ahead and go back to our text. You see what he's doing here in Romans chapter 7? He's showing that the law has dominion as long as you live. But the point is that we died. We died when Jesus did. Now we're free from the curse of the law. And now we're married to another. And that's what verse 4 stresses. That's why I use the illustration of marriage in verses 2 and verse 3. We were married to a sin debt. But we died in Christ. And now we are married to another. And that one we're married to in verse 4 is Christ. Wherefore, my brethren, Romans 7, verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye are become dead to the law. Now, that means dead to the law's curse. I don't want you to think that now that we're saved, we don't seek to keep the Lord's commandments. We do. Jesus said, if you love me, and we'll talk more about this probably later, If you love me, you keep my commandments. But you're not keeping the commandments to get saved. I'm going to tell you, folks, and we'll see this next week, the commandments never could save you. And they were never intended to be a way of salvation. The purpose of giving the law, the purpose of giving the commandments is so you'd realize you was a sinner. And that's what Paul's going to point out here in the latter stages of Romans 7. He would not have known what covetous was had there not been a law written that said, thou shalt not covet. The purpose of giving the law was for the knowledge of sin. So that you would see you as a sinner in need of a Savior. It's not a way of salvation. It never was intended to be. That's why the book of Galatians says, if there had been a law given to give to give in life, verily salvation would have been by the law. But salvation isn't that way. It couldn't be that way. Because one sin makes you a transgressor and one sin makes you a sinner. And we were born sinners by nature, choice, and practice. That's what we are. That's how we were born. But the good news is Jesus came and paid that debt. Now I'm free from the sin curse. I don't have to worry about being condemned because Jesus was condemned in my place. Now Romans 7:4 says that we should be married to another. And that other that we're married to is Jesus. We're viewed as being married to him. And that means we're to be devoted to him, does it not? And it goes on to say that you should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Who we married to? We're married to him who was raised from the dead. Who was raised from the dead? It's talking about Jesus. So we're married to him. We have a eternal relationship now with him because Jesus never dies. And one of these days, because of Jesus, we're never going to die. We may die physically one day, but we'll never die spiritually. Jesus paid our debt, and one day we'll rule and reign with him forever. So, we're married to another. We're married to him who was raised from the dead that we should bring forth fruit to God. Again, it's stressing our life now that we are saved. Though our debt is paid, though our condemnation was paid by Jesus, though we're set free from the curse of the law, we seek to bring forth fruit unto God. And that's the Father's will in John chapter 15, that we bear much fruit. Jesus taught his disciples that they needed to bear fruit. And the Father is glorified. John 15 and the verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So it's important for the Lord that we glorify him by bearing fruit. And, of course, bearing fruit is a evidence of salvation. It's not the cause of salvation, but when you're saved, old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. And there will be fruit bearing. There will be a newness. Remember, the message is free. We're free from our sin curse to serve in newness. Now, let's read on because there's a text that says what I... When I picked the title, I picked it out of the text, and you'll see it here in just a little bit. Okay, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law. And this is Romans 7 and verse 6. We are delivered from... What does that mean, we're delivered from the law? We're delivered from the law's curse. See, before we were saved... Let me go back and read verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held. What does it mean? We were held under a sin curse. We were held under a sin debt. We were in the flesh. The motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's verse 5. Before we were saved, we were under the law and we brought forth fruit unto death. But now that we're born again and we've been delivered from the law, we are to serve in newness of the Spirit. That's what Romans 7 and verse 6 says, we are to serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So things are different now. And now that we've been set free from the law, we are to serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. We're to have a new life, free to serve in newness. We're not free to serve in sin. You can't serve the Lord and live in sin. It's not God's purpose for his children to live in sin. He didn't set you free from the sin curse for you to live a lifestyle of sin. He set you free so that you'd bring glory to Him by producing fruit. He set you free that you would serve Him for the remainder of your days to bring glory unto Him. That's the purpose of our life. What Paul say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Folks, too many people have made professions of faith today to have no desire to serve the Lord. They don't care how much sin they commit. There's something wrong with somebody that professes faith that has no desire to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Folks, when the Lord saves you, He changes you. Old things do pass away. Behold, all things do become new. Behold, you do seek to live a life to serve in newness of spirit, as He says here in Romans chapter 7. You do bring forth fruit unto Him. And that's your desire to do that, to bring glory unto the Lord. Well, folks, this has been a blessing, I think, as we've looked at Romans chapter 7, because it really sets things down the way that they are. Our debt indeed is paid. As far as the law is concerned, when Christ died on Calvary, I died. I'm set free from the curse of the law. I don't even worry about hell no more. Many times preachers will use hell as an excuse to try to get people to serve. That's the wrong reason to serve. You serve Him because you love Him. My debt's paid. I don't worry about condemnation no more. Romans chapter 8 says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. That debt was paid, and it was paid once, and it was paid in full. Now I'm free. Free to serve. Free to bring fruit. Free to bring glory to His name. And I pray that you can see that in your life. And that's the point of the text, is to show you that there will be a change in a person's life. And though we are set free from the law, doesn't mean we don't seek to keep the Lord's law. We're not to steal, and we're not to commit adultery. We're not to bear false witness. We're not to use the Master's name in vain. Doesn't mean that we don't seek to keep His commandments. We do. It's just we're not trying to keep the commandments to be saved by Him. We seek to keep the commandments because we love Him. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, that if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the motive. The motive is love. The motive is the glory of God. And this freedom is not a freedom to serve the flesh, but it is, as we announce the entitlement of the message, it's a freedom to serve in newness. And folks, I pray tonight that you can see that in your life, that you can see a change. And my friend, if you don't see a change, if you made a profession years ago and it's never produced any newness, there's something wrong with it. Because those that know Christ, old things pass away and all things become new. My friend, if you've never trusted Jesus, I want to warn you tonight that you're under a sin curse and a sin debt, and you'll pay it. As a matter of fact, you'll pay it forever. And it'll never truly be paid. The only way it can be paid is in Christ. And Jesus said, if you come to Him, that He'll no wise cast you out. If you come to Him realizing you're lost and realizing you're a sinner, and realize that He died on Calvary for sinners and rose again the third day, and you call upon Him and say, Jesus, I want to be saved. I want to trust You. He'll save your soul. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you trust Him? And won't you trust Him tonight? This has been Good Hope Through Grace. Pastor Jeff Arthur, I hope the Lord blessed you this evening. Listen in again next week as we continue in Romans 7.